Welcome to the Sermon Podcast by Church of the Nazarene. Stay tuned for the latest updates and new episodes by subscribing. Find us on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Join us live every Sunday morning at 9 on our YouTube channel. For in-person worship, join our English services at our Harrisonburg and Elkton campus at 9 and 10:30. Or our Spanish service at our Harrisonburg location at 11:45. Explore Celebrate Recovery every Monday night at 6 o'clock. Thank you for tuning in.
Today we're going to continue in our teaching series called Relationship Goals. Throughout this series, we're looking to the scriptures to help us establish goals for our relationships, to bring scriptural intentionality into our relationships. And today's goal for our relationships is that we will be purpose-driven. We will be purpose-driven. As followers of Jesus, we believe that we are called together for a purpose greater than just ourselves. We are called together to be a part of something bigger than ourselves, to do things together that otherwise could not be done. We believe that our relationships should have purpose. Purpose. Now, I'm willing to bet this morning that we all have some relationships that we can easily identify the purpose of, right? If you have a relationship with a doctor, for example, you know the purpose of that relationship is to keep you healthy, to have someone to ask questions with, to guide you in a life of good health. You might have a relationship with a mechanic. My mechanic's name's Mike Arbogast. A guy can fix anything. But we have a purpose in that relationship. When you drive old vehicles, you need somebody like that, right? We have purpose for relationships. Some of you might have a relationship with a hairstylist or barber. Not all of us, but you get the idea. But beyond those relationships, I want us to think about the purpose of our closest relationships. Maybe within our household, our family, our best friends, our coworkers. What would you say is the purpose of those relationships? What's the purpose? Are we coming together as friends this afternoon around the television for the Super Bowl? Is it really just about the wings and the appetizers? Or is that relationship something more? I guess if you're a Commanders fan, it's about the wings. What about the people who live right beside you? Your neighbors. Is the purpose of that relationship just to watch each other's Amazon packages? Or is it something more? What's the purpose of those relationships? How about that relationship with your boss or your supervisor at work? Is that relationship, is the purpose of that just to fly under the radar to try to win some bonus points that might maybe will result in a bigger bonus this year? Like, is that the sole purpose? Or is there more? Purpose-driven relationships. As I've thought about this idea in my life, and as we're celebrating as a church 4 years together, purpose-driven relationship really is captured here in one picture for me. This is February 5th, 2020, a year before we launched this campus. Pastor Adrian, he's behind the camera, and that's Pastor Terry and I sitting around a table, and this was really the conclusion of our first meeting together. Like, there'd been a lot of planning and purposing coming together, but like really this was the genesis of the coming together around a common table of East Rock. Now, I'm not sure if you've noticed or not, but Pastor Terry and I are just a little bit different. For example, like, this is my happy face right here, and I'm okay with that. But if you've seen Pastor Terry, man, she is up here, yay for Jesus, full throttle. We're different. We're different, and I know you can't see it in this picture, but that difference is there because I'm holding on for dear life, and she's pressing the gas, yay for Jesus, let's go. It's there. Pastor Roger, he's been here before, a dear friend of mine and mentor. He has this habit of like emerging, saying something off the wall, and then disappearing. Well, he got this picture in our group me as a staff, and he texted me and says, "You look like you don't have any idea what's going on," or something like that. Yeah, I got it, Roger. Thanks. But my mind comes back to here thinking about purpose-driven relationship because, friends, personally, I am a debtor to this relationship with Pastor Terry. Today, 5 years in, that was 2020, man, I'm a better person because of purpose-driven relationship with Pastor Terry. We've come together. God has called us and planted a vision in our hearts to do something we could not do ourselves. It's a purpose-driven relationship. And I'm a debtor to that today. I'm a debtor. It's purpose-driven relationship. Two very different people brought together by a shared calling and a common purpose in Christ. You say, Pastor, what's it all about? It's really simple. We believe that our calling, just as our calling in Christ, sets the course of our lives, that our calling and our purpose in Jesus should also set the course of our relationships. That's purpose-driven relationship. And that goal really asks us a question. It asks us a question of our closest relationship, and that is simply this: what is the purpose of this relationship? What's the purpose? Let's pray together. Lord, thank you for your word today. We thank you for the chance to gather, to worship together, Lord, and to dive into your word. And so, Father, as we're seeking to grow our relationships, to set targets and goals out there that we might grow our relationships, God, will you help us with this one, that we would be purpose-driven. So, Lord, as we dive into your word, help us to hear your voice. Speak to us today and draw us closer to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Relationship goals. We kind of have goals for all sorts of things in life, right? Like it's an everyday part for us. We might have goals for fitness. We might have goals for our finances. We might have goals for our travel plans. We set goals for all sorts of things. And a goal is something that we're setting out there. We haven't attained it yet, but we are working towards it. It sets the course. It's a target for us. And so as we think about that in the rest of our life, we ask the question, why not in relationship too? Why not set goals in relationship inspired by the scripture that would draw us and our closest loved ones closer to the Lord? That's really the essence of this teaching series, is to look to the scriptures and it's what it's teaching and calling us to and saying, yes, I will set goals. I will be intentional in relationship to grow in the future. And by naming this series Relationship Goals, friends, we're acknowledging right out of the gate that our relationships can use some work. That me in relationship can use a lot of work. And so, friends, the point of this is not to make you feel bad or guilty about the relationship you have. It's an invitation of hope. To say, hey, let's lean into what the Bible's calling us to. Let's set a goal in cooperation with the Spirit, and let's grow together in Christ-likeness. That's really what this is all about. And today, we're talking about being purpose-driven. And to really get at that goal in relationship, we need to pull back a little bit and understand our purpose and our calling as followers of Jesus. And to see how these two come together, we're going to look at one relationship today, and that's between Peter and John. Peter and John. We're going to be in Luke chapter 5. If you have your copy of Scripture, want to turn there today. These are two very different people, Peter and John. They have a relationship, but it's about to change because of an encounter with Jesus. And so Luke chapter 5, where we see the relationship begin, is at verse 1, and that's where we'll be at today in our teaching text. Luke 5, verse 1 through 4 says, "One day as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, the people were crowding around him and listening to the word of God. He saw at the water's edge two boats left there by fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon," that's Peter, "and he asked him to put out a little from shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon Peter, put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch." So as we look at and follow along the story of Luke, Jesus has been teaching and preaching around the region of the Galilee, and he's performing miracles and people are following and word is starting to spread and the crowds are getting bigger and bigger. And that's really what we see happening here in Luke 5. Jesus is teaching and the crowds have grown to the point that they're pressing in. So he steps into a boat and gets back a little bit to kind of use that as a natural barrier so he can continue teaching. But as he finishes up his sermon, he turns to Simon Peter and he says, "Hey buddy, let's go fishing. Let's go fishing." Let's watch what happens next.
"Set down for a catch. A little farther out."
"I don't have a quarrel with you, teacher. But we've been doing this all night. Nothing." "All right. At your word."
"My brother and the baptizer, you are the Lamb of God, yes?"
"I am."
"Depart from me. I am a sinful man. You don't know who I am and the things I've done."
"Don't be afraid, Simon."
"I'm sorry. We've waited for you for so long, we believe. But my faith, I'm sorry."
"Lift up your head, fisherman.
What do you want from me? Anything you ask, I will do."
"Follow me."
"You as well. Yes, you, James and John, come, follow me."
As you read this account in the scriptures, verse 8 through 11 says, "When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, 'Go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man.' For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken, and so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, 'Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people.' So they pulled their boats up on shore, left everything, and followed him." This moment marked a new day in the lives of these men. Peter recognizes in this moment his sinful heart and his need for a Savior. As he hits the ground before Jesus, he's ready to leave his old life of sin to find forgiveness in Jesus. And Jesus affirms that desire in Peter and replies with a new calling, follow me. Follow me. This invitation of Jesus to follow me was that Peter would literally go be with Jesus, to stay where he stayed, to go where he went, to learn from him, and most importantly, to become like him. Follow me. It's the idea of apprenticeship. If you've ever done on-the-job training, it's this kind of an idea. Follow me. On-the-job training with Jesus. And with this new calling comes a new purpose for Peter's life. From now on, you will fish for people. You see, with a new calling, he has a new purpose. He is now going to leverage his life for the advancement of the kingdom of God. What Jesus sees, what he wants, and what he says is now Peter's purpose. And there's an interesting note here in the text that's easy to read by. It says there in the passage, so they, plural, they pulled their boats up on shore, left everything, and followed him. You see, this call wasn't only for Peter. The Chosen does a good job in recognizing that Jesus looks to James and John and says, hey, you too, let's go. But as this call was for Peter and John and James that day, this calling is representative of the calling for you and I to follow after Jesus and to see our life purpose be his. That's the essence of Christianity, friends. As we seek Jesus as Lord and Savior, we too share in this calling to follow after him, to be in relationship with him through the Holy Spirit, to learn from him, to do what he did, to live like he lived. That's our calling. That's our calling and our purpose, friends, is to give our lives to glorify God for the advancement of his kingdom. The Apostle Paul, he talked about it this way. In Romans 12, he's just spent all this time unpacking the grace and the mercy of God. And he turns around and he says, therefore, in light of all that God's done, therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Friends, every single person who names the name Jesus as Lord and Savior is committed to living out their God-given calling of becoming like Jesus, of learning from him and seeing our lives transformed by his grace. And we're committed to leveraging our lives to see the coming of his kingdom here on earth. It's the basic call of Christianity. And sometimes I think we get that wrong. I think we buy into a lesser version that says Christianity just means I try to cuss a little less, I try to be a little nicer person, and occasionally I show up at church on Sunday. Hey, look, do all those things, please. Be a nicer person. The world needs it. But that's not the call of follow me. That's not what Jesus and the scriptures call us to in life after him. It's calling for a total abandonment, a death to self, and an embrace of life in Christ. And every day after that, we see our purpose in him. And friends, it's going to look different. It should. We're not all fishermen on the Galilee. It should look different. So whether you're a school teacher, a plumber, you work down here at Mercury, you stay at home with the grandkids, the purpose of your life is the same, to give yourself, to give your life in serving the Lord and seeing his kingdom come. It's our calling and that's our purpose. It's who we are as followers of Jesus and it's why we're here. Our purpose and our calling. And friends, as that is true of our lives, it's also true of our relationships. As we enter into relationships, we don't leave behind our calling to follow after Jesus. We don't leave behind our purpose. We bring it into relationship. Man, how's this relationship going to fulfill my calling and commitment to Christ? What's the purpose of this thing? That's really the essence of purpose-driven relationship. As you continue in the story of Peter and John, they're called, their purposes changed there beside the lake that day. But you can see that living that out was a work in progress. It took years. It took years. They made mistakes. They made mistakes. Thankfully, the Gospels are honest enough to show us their mistakes. James and John, for example. One time, they're following Jesus. They had just come out of a Samaritan village. They didn't have a great visit. They look to Jesus, and they want to call down fire from heaven to consume the village they just left. Now, you think your road rage is bad. This is another level. They didn't get it. Jesus, towards the end of his ministry, man, he's talking about, look, I'm going to bleed, suffer, and die. James and John go, hey, can we be like number two dogs in your kingdom? We want a high seat. And Jesus is like, you just don't get it. They didn't get it. They had a calling. They had a purpose, but they had to grow into it. You look at the life of Peter. I don't know what size shoe he wore, but he could get the whole thing in his mouth. Peter received some of the harshest rebukes from Jesus that we see in Scripture. One time, Jesus looks at him and says, get behind me, Satan. Whoa. He blew it. But they were committed. It wasn't about perfection. It was about commitment and God's grace at work in their lives. And as you trace that story over the long haul, you begin to see how it shaped their life and their relationship. And you really get to see the fruit of this commitment and this gracious act of the Lord growing them. You begin to see it come to life in the book of Acts. We're going to be in Acts 4 for just a minute. But what's happening in the book of Acts? So the book of Acts is chronicling, it's telling the story of what happens after Jesus' resurrection. So we see that Peter and John and the disciples are still hanging around in Jerusalem. They're not sure what to do. But we see in coming days that the Spirit of God comes at what we call Pentecost. And so what happens is before these guys shared, they shared in the same calling and the same purpose. Now they share in the same Spirit. And friends, the impact on their life was dramatic. In chapter 4 specifically, Peter and John, they're on trial before what would amount to like the Supreme Court of the religious elite that day. This court has the authority to sentence them to death. And they're standing there on trial because they've been part of healing a man who was paralyzed for 40 years. You see, they were going up, Peter and John, they were going up to the temple to pray. And this guy, he's been standing there, been there his whole life. He asked Peter, hey, buddy, you got any money? I need help. Peter's like, nope, broke as a joke. But what I got, I'll give you. In the name of Jesus, get up and walk. He yanks him to his feet. He's healed. You might imagine after laying there 40 years, that creates a stir. And so that stir grows until Peter and John are arrested. They spend the night in jail. They face trial and they give their whole defense about the name of Jesus and the power that resurrected this man, that healed this man. And something happens that speaks a lot of purpose-driven relationship. And we see that in verse 13. They're standing trial. They're in front of these men. It says, when they, these religious officials, when they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished and took note that these men had been with Jesus. That's purpose-driven relationship. Purpose-driven relationship. You see, what's happening in this moment is that the religious who's who, the high court of that day, that they're looking at these two men. They know they didn't go to seminary. They didn't go to the Jewish schools. They didn't do that. They were just ordinary people. They were good old country folk. They were from the holler, would be my paraphrase. It's a great place to be from. But they look at them, they say, these boys ain't been trained. But yet, as they look at Peter and John standing there, they look beyond what they see before them. They see their actions and their words, and they see something familiar. They see Jesus, whom they crucified. And they're blown away. Think about that for a minute. It's not two fishermen standing there on trial, two criminals anymore. They see Jesus by the way they're living their life. Man, I want that. I can do without the trial, but man, that's purpose-driven relationship. This ruling council, they didn't know these boys, but they could look at their life and what it was producing, and they saw Jesus of Nazareth. Man. Friends, that's the invitation. That people would see beyond us. And that when they looked at us, they looked at our life, when they looked at our relationships, they would go, that looks like what I read about in the Gospels. It looks like this Jesus I've heard about. It's a purpose-driven relationship. Look, we're celebrating what all God's done here at the campus and beyond. And you know, as I think about this, I think about the stories and all the amazing things that happen week in and week out here. I've come to the realization that it's really a purpose-driven relationship. We have the stories and the celebrations, and God is doing amazing things, and we get to be a part of that. But week in and week out, people show up committed to a purpose and a calling greater than themselves, and they serve. Leverage their life. You leverage your lives to see the kingdom come. It happens every week in kids' ministry and worship ministry. It happens in the kitchen with coffee. It happens as people come in. Every time somebody walks through those doors and they feel welcome, man, that's purpose-driven relationship. And friends, as I've thought about this week and this idea, like as your pastor, can I just say that's my goal for us going forward? Is more of that. More of that. Imagine with me for a minute when somebody hears about the Church of the Nazarene down there and meets in the old fire hall building, that when they hear about the church, what they would see, what they would hear about, would remind them of Jesus. Man. You know, people ask me a lot if I'm out and about, what do you feel like the community of Elkton needs? What do you feel like you're there for? Why? What's your vision for the church? And my answer's been the same for a while now. I believe with all of my heart, there's a lot of churches here, and that's a beautiful thing. But I believe with all of my heart that the people of this community and the surrounding areas are longing to see people live what they say they believe. People who will remain committed to their calling and committed to their purpose in the course of their everyday life. I believe that's what our community needs. It's purpose-driven relationship. Fiercely following after Jesus for such a time as this. You say, well, Pastor, what about my relationships at home? Because this idea is not just about the people sitting to your left and to your right. It's about the people you do life with. What's the purpose of those relationships? Are those relationships, are they helping to build up your purpose and calling in Christ? Or are they tearing you away from who Jesus is calling you to be? Friends, that's the question this goal asks us. Am I bringing my calling as a follower of Jesus and my purpose to see his kingdom come? Is that setting the course of my closest relationships? Are they honoring to the Lord? You say, well, what about that friend you call every week? Y'all talk. Maybe you've known each other for a long time. How does your calling and purpose show up there? I've thought about that for my life and some friends that I have and friends I go fishing with. Like, is it really all about just somebody to hop in the truck and we take off and we have a good time? Like, that's great. But man, is there something more there? Do we spend that time sharpening one another in confession, in question? Or is it just about a fish? What's the purpose? Husbands and wives in the room, man, what's the purpose of your relationship? What's the purpose? Are you seeing God move? Are you building each other up in the faith? Are you creating a space in your home where others can come and see the love of Jesus on display? Parents, what's the purpose of your relationship with your children? Is it just that they get to have the things they enjoy and make it to all the commitments and all of those things? Or is my purpose in that relationship to make absolutely sure that they know who Jesus is? What's your purpose, parents? Grandparents, I got news for you too. Your purpose in life is not to spoil your grandkids rotten. Oh. Grandparents, you have a position in this world in relationship with your grandkids to show them a love of Jesus that will not match anything else in the world. You have a position, a vantage point to speak truth and hope and love into their life in the name of Jesus. Don't miss it. Spoil them rotten, that's fine, whatever. Don't miss your purpose. Don't miss it. Pastor, what if the person I'm in relationship doesn't? What if they don't know Jesus? It's a great question. And I know it's true in the room today. It's true in my life. What is our purpose and our calling then? Friends, I think it means that we are unapologetically true to our calling and our purpose in this world and that relationship too. I think it's an invitation, it's an opportunity that we're going to show that person Jesus. Sometimes we might even use words, but we're going to commit to loving them and pouring into them as best as we can and trusting God to draw them. It's a purpose-driven relationship. As the band comes up today, every single relationship we have is different. And that's okay. But our calling and our purpose in this world is set if we are naming Jesus as Savior. So will you join me in this journey? Because really, that's the response today, is to go into a season of prayer and discernment with the Lord and just say, God, what about my relationships? What's the purpose here? How can I leverage the relationships you've given me now to further your kingdom? What's the purpose? Would you stand with me today? You know, as we begin to think about this, it really begins when we individually understand our calling and our purpose. Maybe you've never heard the invitation to be a Christian put like this. Maybe you thought it was about going to church and trying to be nice and cuss less. Friends, that's a grain of sand on a much larger beach, okay? The invitation. Jesus said crazy things about his invitation to follow him. He said, take up your cross. The cross is an execution device. Take up your electric chair and follow after me. What's he saying, Pastor? He's saying we have to hit that place of Peter where we fall at it before him and we go, God, I am a sinner. I'm done. My old life needs to be over. You know your calling today. Have you come to that place of being at an end of yourself to pour it all out to him and say, God, I'll follow you. I'll follow you. Today, do you know your purpose? That as a follower of Jesus, your life is not your own anymore. And that's a good thing. That's a good thing. You have a greater purpose in your life. No matter where you work, what your vocation is, the invitation is to give your life all to Him in surrender to His purpose. Maybe we need to start there today. Maybe for some of us, we're beginning to think about some relationships and say, Lord, I'm not sure I see how this can work. That's why this is a goal. It's going to take time, a lot of grace. Maybe today you're thinking about that relationship and you just want to invite the Lord there. I'd invite you to do that today. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, thanks for your word today. Thanks for calling us, inviting us, Lord, into something greater than just ourselves. Lord, as we see this goal for our lives, to follow after you, to be like you, to apprentice, to learn life as you've called. And Lord, we learn a new purpose. Lord, we need your grace and your mercy to take our yes and transform that into something beautiful. So Lord, will you meet us in that place today, wherever we are on that journey? Help us to see our calling and our purpose summed up in you. And Lord, as we look to our relationships, God, as we pray into that, as we bring those people to you, Lord, help us to see that in a new way. What would you have the purpose of this relationship be, Lord? And Lord, I know there's relationships in the room today that it's hard to even think about this. Lord, would you meet us there in a place of compassionate grace and mercy and show us what you mean by purpose-driven relationship with that person. Lord, we love you and we give you thanks today. And it's in Jesus' name. Amen. We've left this cross up here with note cards and things. It's just a prayer point. If today you want to step out of the boat, if you want to say, yep, Jesus, I'm following you, I would just invite you to come and just write following on a card and pin it to the cross. Maybe you're thinking of a specific relationship today that your heart and your desire is longing to see Christ come in that relationship. Maybe you want to just put that person's name down and we can join you in prayer. But just respond today however the Lord would lead, and let's worship.
Thank you for tuning in today. Don't forget to hit that subscribe button and stay updated on our latest episodes. If you have any questions about our church or ministry, feel free to reach out to us via email at info@cotnaz.org.